This morning lesson is titled, Know God, Know You. I'll be reading from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 to 24. That's Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 to 24. And it reads, Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret, places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not, I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. May the Lord bless the hearers and doers of his word.
Christ my Lord, only
First John chapter 2, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say good morning to the congregation. It's good for us for it to be here. Our God, He knows our every need, and we dare not set aside the importance of knowing who God is and what God has done for us in our lives. We dare not set that aside, even though sometimes in our lives we take those things so much for granted. But our God was, and our God continues to be. Amen. I want to acknowledge the fact that our brother Ron Wright served in this congregation dutifully for quite some time, and that he has been taken on home by God. It's always a somber thing to realize that our lives are going to come to an end. But it's victory to know full well that when our lives do end, that it ended in Christ Jesus. Thank God for Brother Wright. Amen. Amen. The lesson title tonight is to know God and to know you. The world over this past week has given us a pass to do any and everything we want to do in the name of Christmas. And I'm sure that some people have just done and done that. Some to celebration and some to shame. But nevertheless, some people have just done that. Amen. You know, A.W. Tozer said this. He said, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work that is within us. We're still trying to give orders and we're interfering with God and the work that he has within each and every one of us. You see, our past life is over. Our present life is before us. And our future life, only a second away, awaits us. The new year is upon us. Yes, it is. Time to look back at the celebrations we had and even the victories we've had and even the failures and the losses that we've had. We've had quite a year. But the new year is upon us and time is at a premium. So the question is, do you know who you are? The question is, do you know who God is? All that time you spent in the past, do you know who God is? All the time that you spent in the past, do you know who you are? Have you seen yourself for who you truly are? And have you seen God for who he truly is? Time is at a premium. Pretense should be going out of the window. It's time to check into the reality hotel once again and realize that God is and we are. his children. And he expects us to understand that reality that we might live. He expects us to understand the reality because he has given us life, has given to us abundantly. So let's throw the pretense out the window because time is at a premium, and let's be for God who he has called us to be. Here's a hot fact for you. God sees you. I'm glad that God looks at me. I'm glad that God sees me. I just can't say that enough. God sees you and he knows you. And because the knowledge of God extends to all divisions of time, that is time past, time present, and time future. Because his knowledge extends through all of that, it's high time that I stop and examine myself. It's high time that I stop and look at me just as God looks at me as well. It's high time that I stop looking at somebody else, pretending that I want to know who they are, but I just want to get in there. You go, Grams, in their business. It's high time that I get to know who God is, that I might know who I am and what he's called me to do. You know, someone has said this, and I wrote it down because it's real interesting, because I know that's how I feel. This is what he said. He said, when I first became a Christian, the quality of God's personality that really bothered me was his omniscience. The fact that he was all-knowing and that he knew everything. I was happy to know that he was all-powerful. I was happy to know that he's all-good, and happy to know that he's all-wise. Because these things would help me in times of need or trouble. However, the fact that he knew everything about me, and it made me feel uncomfortable. He knew just what I thought. He witnessed and judged every word that I spoke. And everything that I ever did, whether good or bad, God knew those things, and it made me uncomfortable. How ironic that is. Because there are those that are Christians who don't even blush because God knows the things that they are doing. And they can care less because they love to do it. I don't know who they gave credit to for this particular saying right here. I think they tried to give it to Einstein, but it's not Einstein's. It's a form of Einstein's. It goes like this. It says, the more I think about God, the more incomprehensible he seems to be. The more I think about him, the more incomprehensible he seems to be to me. So I ask myself, how can a finite mind comprehend an infinite being? How can I do that? How can this fleshly mind of mine comprehend the spirit of who God is? How can one who doesn't even know all about himself comprehend one who knows everything about everybody? And though I can't even explain it, and though I can't even comprehend the one who knows everything about everybody, the God who knows all, me personally, let me just tell you how I feel. I don't know about you, this is just me. The idea of not being able to have anything secret can sometimes make you a little withdrawn. Everybody got their little secret, right? Who don't have one? You better not. Everybody got a little secret, right? Tucked in somewhere. And sometimes the idea of not being able to have anything secret, it makes you withdrawn, and sometimes it drives people away from God because he sees that secret thing. But they just don't realize how he sees our exposed life on an everyday basis. I'm glad that God sees me. Glad he's looking. You know, King David, he contemplated this idea in Psalm 139. And he came to an intriguing and encouraging observation. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. Let's read that together. Listen to God. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. Let's listen to God here. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. It's doubtful in my mind whether God can bless a man greatly until he has seen and healed that man deeply. We're too superficial as a people, and I'm doubtful that God gives us superficial blessings. I'm doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has seen and healed that man deeply. We got a lot of things that went on in this past year. A lot of things that need to be healed. A lot of things that need to be taken care of. A lot of hatches that need to be. Amen. There's a lot of lives that are yet needs to be formed. Come into being that we might be for God what he has called us to be. The penetrating look of God into our spirit produces not only a casual interpersonal relationship, it doesn't just produce a general idea of who we are, but God looks into us with a deep and intimate knowledge of who we really are. You know, sometimes we think that we know who somebody else is because we've lived with them for quite some time or we grew up with them. Man, I know who you are. Where do I know you from? I recognize you. Sometimes we don't even know who we are, and we don't know that we know who God is either. But God looks into our lives for a deep and intimate relationship and the knowledge of who we are, and all we want to do is pretend to be who we are. We pretend with each other. We can't pretend with God. Almost an hour ago, we were fussing at our homes, and we walked into this door, and everything was peaches and cream, wasn't it? Hold my hand, baby. They can't know that we was fussing. Most of the time, the way that God sees us is not even understood by ourselves, especially in since some of us are not connected to the point of looking at ourselves. Some of us can't even look at ourselves to even know ourselves. But God looks at us, and he sees our past. God looks at us, and he sees our present. God looks at us, and he sees into our future, and he wants us to be who he has called us to be. Pretense is over with. We've had that pass. We've taken it, and we've used that ticket. Time is pressing forward, and we've got to move on. We've got to work out our own soul salvation. We've got lives that we have to save. He Hebrews 4:13, the Hebrew writer says these words. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know what David says? It astonishes me just to even look at it because I'm guilty of the same thing. Because listen to what he says. He explains that you cannot hide from God. That you're naked before him at all times. And yet, what do we try to do? We try to hide everything that we don't want anybody else to know, and we think God won't know it either. Well, we got some secrets. Well, we got them. God is aware of us while we rest. He knows what we think about, whether it's good or bad. He knows what we do and where we go. God knows what we are going to say before it is said. He therefore knows the intent of what we say, because God knows, boy, he knows our hearts. Matthew 15, 17, 20. Do you yet not understand that whatsoever entered into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Look into your heart. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Look into your heart. Out of the thought proceeds murders and adulteries and fornications and theft and false witness and blasphemies. From out of the heart comes pretense that we are who God called us to be. Everybody says they are Christian. And we make God out to be a liar because we're pretending to be one. Time is pressing forward. 2020 is right upon us. And some, sadly enough, will not make it. It's right there. Who knows if we're going to be here tomorrow? We can't know that. So let's stop pretending that we know what God has for us in our lives. We can't know that. God is the one. He surrounds us both physically and spiritually. And the intensity of the presence of God is a thought too much. It's too much for some people to bear. They want God, but they don't want him around. They just want to think about him. But don't stand beside me, God, because I got to walk over in this barroom and get me some seafood. All right? That ain't caution nothing right there. So in verses 7 through 12, listen to what David does. He tries to imagine a place or a condition where he can actually get away from God. And his conclusion is that even the best hiding places, even in the darkness, still can't conceal him from God, because God is light. Imagine that. And where he is no darkness at all, because God is light. Nothing is hidden from him at all. Nothing. And I guess we condition ourselves into hiding when we grew up playing hide and go seek. And it was just so funny, you got tickled because they just couldn't find you. Amen. Then you ran out and you exposed yourself, but you had to touch that base before they touch you. Remember that? Let me tell you something. You better touch bases with God before death touches you. Because you can't hide from God and you can't hide from death. Stop pretending to be who you are not. Be who God has called you to be. David recognizes that God knew him from the beginning of his life. He recognized that God knew what his life would be and where his life would end up. And it brings him comfort. Because if God is with you at birth and at death, and if God is present with you right now, then you're never alone. You're never alone. So David, as he pens this psalm, he begins to realize who he is and who God is. And his attitude changes from "I want to hide" to "Well, I'm glad that God sees me" to "I'll praise God because he knows me better than I know myself." I'm going to praise him for that, because he sees me better than I can see myself. I'm going to praise him for that, because he's given me the spirit of life. I'm going to praise him for that, because he's put words in my mouth where I can just know that he is the God Almighty. David moves from appreciation to praise because it's the knowledge of God that has forged his past life. It's the knowledge of God that has forged your past life as well. We went through a whole lot in 2019. Think about that. Everybody's been up and everybody's been down. Everybody's been happy. Everybody's been sad. They've been through it. So we look forward to the appreciation that we might be able to praise God because his knowledge has forged our past life and has made his present life possible as well. And God looks forward in our lives to our future. When you look at this psalm, you find that David went through five stages of feelings. He let his feelings get in the way. Don't we do that? The first stage was he had a lot of discomfort at having someone's knowledge surround him. Sometimes we get a little comfort when people start to get to know us, so we kind of push away because we want to have our own little box to live in. We don't want anybody to get too close. We don't want to know that I went to jail 20 years down the road and that, you know, that was 20 years ago, bro. So what? What you ought to be telling folks is that now you are a Christian. In the life that you used to live, you don't live it anymore. For my life is hidden in Christ. You want to hide? Hide there. Hide where God can find you, where you know that he's there as well if you want to hide. David's feelings took him through appreciation of the knowledge of God. His feelings took him to praise God for such great knowledge. David's feelings took him to a point where his prayer and confidence was based on the knowledge that God knows him as every being is ever fiber. He knows every hair on his head. And now he realized on this full knowledge and rejects that darkness in which he was trying to hide. See, we got to get rid of that closet that we're trying to hide, and we got to get rid of that. Got to get rid of it. Why are we trying to hide behind something? What is the pretense all about? And that's the guy one time, he says, you know, I was doing this ultrasound, and he couldn't hide anything from me because I can look inside of him with that scope. You know, people come to the doctors to try to hide stuff, don't they? They do. You get all these tests and look inside you, and he's not hidden anymore. So I'm looking into him, and I'm looking at his heart and his ear, and I can see he was a smoker for a long time. Because all that tar and nicotine deposits was in his vessels. It was there. And I said, sir, have you quit smoking? He says, yeah, I quit smoking. I said, you got a pack in your closet? He busted out laughing. You hadn't quit. Because you're hiding something from yourself even, knowing full well that it's just pretense. What are you hiding from God that you can't be who God has called you to be, that you can't be the Christian for your family, that you can't be the Christian on your job, that you can't be the Christian that the world might see God in you? Why are you hiding from God? What is it that you're hiding? You know. I can't know. You know what it is. I don't know. But you got to get rid of that darkness. Because you can't hide in it any longer because our God is light. The last stage that David sees, he's asking God to completely know who he is. He submits totally to God and offers his full surrender. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just committed yourself totally to God? This is what he says in Psalm 139, 23 through 24. This is what he says. Search me, God. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me. You ever had? Pat me down, God. Look all in my heart and my mind and my spirit. Look at me. I'm wide open. I'm naked before you, God. In the past, you know what David was doing? Just like we're doing. He was looking for ways to hide. Places that could be kept secret. But once he realized that the knowledge of God had always been there to create in him a new heart, once he realized that the knowledge of God was always there to preserve his life, once he realized that the knowledge of God was there to protect him, he opened up his heart and he invited God in. Have you done that yet? Have you opened up your heart and invited God in? He invited God to search him. He invited God to know him. He invited God to examine him deeply, because God cannot bless anyone deeply unless he cleanses their heart deeply. Can't do it. At this point, David wants God to acknowledge him. He wants God to heal him of his anxieties. He wants God to heal him of his sinfulness. He wants God to heal him of his secret infidelities. You want to give them up? You want to give them up? You don't have to hold on to those things, because God sees every bit of it. Bit of it. His final plea, David's final plea to God, is for God to take him by the hand and lead him to heaven. Oh, that ought to be a plea of ours. Lord, get to know me so you can hold my hand, so that I can walk with you and talk with you, and you can lead me in the path of righteousness that brings me right to heaven. Lord, I surrender to you. Why does he do that? Because he is not willing to live any longer thinking all along that he knew God. He's not willing to live any longer thinking that he actually knew who he was. He's not willing to live any longer thinking that he's in the right church. He's not willing to live any longer thinking that he knows everything about God and all he knows is religion. He's not willing to live any longer and think that just because he's the king, everything has to go his way. He's not willing to live any longer thinking that he knows all and God knows absolutely nothing. I'm going to tell you how to run the church, God. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to serve you, God. You can't tell me that. I'm going to serve God the way I want to, and you're going to die like that. That's what you're going to do. Because you know who you are. You think you know God, but you simply do not. But you better get to know him, because the time is at a premium and it's passing right now. Amen. Got to stop playing these games. We got to stop playing church. We're not little children anymore. Teapots now have real tea in it, you know? Let me tell you what David did. He actually knew who God was, and actually knew who he was. He was no longer riddled by fear, and no longer riddled by the doubt that Satan has put in his life, because he saw the truth for what it actually is. And that's what we have to do, open up our eyes and see the truth for what it actually is. Some people don't want to face reality, right? We're living in a pretense, a fantasy world, but our God is real. He's alive. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I used to live is no more of a pretense. It's a life that I live in Christ. Can I read for you 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Can we do that? David said the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says these words: "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced the secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception." We ain't trying to hide nothing. "Nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, if it's hidden, it is hidden to those who are dying. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. To show that his all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not abandoned. I'm sorry, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you to himself. And this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of those. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, it's a pretense. But what is unseen is eternal. You got to make up your mind what you want. Whether you want to pretend to be a Christian and know who God is, or really whether you want to know who God is. Have you ever contemplated the fact that we are in the process of being known by God right now? Are we still hiding things or living a double life, pretending that God may not see or care about our secrets? Hopefully, in this coming year, even right now, this very moment, we can move away from that immaturity, and we can develop and arrive at the point in our lives we can rejoice, we can praise and have confidence in God, because he knows, because God knows how we feel and why we feel that way. Because God knows what we need, he knows when to act, because God knows how to solve our problems. We can't do it, because God knows who we really are in spite of ourselves, and yet he still loves us. He still wants to know us. So I pray that as we press on to know God in this coming year, that we not only have confidence to know that God knows us, but that we consciously invite God into our lives. Let him in to fill us with his love. Invite him in to change us for the better. Invite God in to discipline us like sons and daughters. Invite God in to use us in his service. Invite God into your lives to examine us in every way and to heal us from our sins and our weaknesses. To heal us from all those things that we have that are in secret. For the conclusion of the whole matter is this, Ecclesiastes 9 says, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of God. And God will bring every deed into the judgment and every hidden, did I say that? In every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. And God will bring every deed, listen to me, in the judgment, whether you were pretending that it was good I pray that as we press on to know God, that he will help us to know him in the way that he knows us. Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 6 says this. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are a lot of people who claim to know God, but they don't even know themselves. Get to know God, you can know yourself as well. Because there's going to be a lot of people claiming on that day that they know who God is. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we know you? Did we prophesy in your name because we knew you? Lord, didn't we know you? Did we cast out devils because we knew who you were? Lord, didn't we know you because we did wonderful works in your name? And then I will profess unto them, Jesus said. Y'all know what he says. What does he say? I never. That's a tough one, isn't it? Time is pressing, and that's the last thing that you want to hear from God. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. The reason why we are still troubled and still seeking and still making a little forward progress is because we hadn't yet come to the end of ourselves. We're still trying to give orders. We're still trying to tell God what to do. We're still interfering with God's work within us, within our inner man. But God calls us to reality. And the reality is Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. And he calls us to hear his word in John 6. He calls us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. He calls us to repent of our sins and turn from our secret ways, our wicked ways, our sinful ways. He calls us to confess Christ and to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. For it is in baptism that all your sins are washed away. For it is in baptism that we receive Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And all that other stuff is just washed away. No more guilt, no more secrets, no more sin. For now we live in Christ. We've become what God has called us to be. And we can help you to get there right now, today, even before the new year dawns upon us. Why don't you come as we stand and sing his invitation song.